You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org. There's an app for that.
Seek abortion, this bill prescribes in details the practice of medicine, such as requirements for the examination of patients and physician communication and protocols, was basically overly described and overly prescribed in this particular instance. In closing, HB 2 shortens the time when the medication of abortion occurs to current evidence of base medical regime allows us to use medication appropriately.
You're listening to a live debate taking place in the Texas House over a late-term abortion ban, a special session called by the Governor Rick Perry down there in Texas. And the governor, for his part, and his lieutenant governor have both publicly stated that this late-term abortion ban will become law in Texas. Joining us for an update on the late-term abortion ban in Texas, Melissa Conway of Texas Right to Life. Melissa, welcome to Issues Etc.
Well, thank you so much for having me join you.
How do you respond to the opponents of the bill who claim that the pro-life forces in Texas and the governor and other members of the legislature have hijacked the political process, the legislative system, to force this down Texas voters' throats?
Well, Todd, actually, I think what you're witnessing is the fact that you've got legislators who've been voted into office that have a really good pulse on what their constituents want, as well as the governor of Texas is also keenly aware, having had many interactions with Texans. And truly at the heart of Texans is the fact that they are against late-term abortions, and they see the value of passing this legislation, protecting women, and protecting life. So ramrodding no, but standing strongly as the voice of the vote of what Texans truly want, I would say that's the case.
What would the bill do if passed into law?
What the bill would do, one of the issues that it would address is at 20 weeks, abortion would be banned at that point. And with that being said, there are many things that the reasons why that is based upon. At 20 weeks, a baby can feel pain. And the humanity of that baby, the identity of that baby has already been developed to the point where that baby is sucking its thumb, it can wave in the womb, it's got fingerprints and toe prints, and it's definitely an identifiable little baby. So abortion would be banned after that point. The remaining portions of the bill truly focus on the protection of the health and safety of women who have made the choice to have abortion by requiring anyone that provides an abortion to adhere to higher standards of health and safety codes.
So give us a brief history how we got to this point, another special session called by the governor of this bill. How did we get to the point now where we're again debating it? What blocked it before? A brief history.
Well, actually, you know, going through the process into one, everything was going well. And it had passed through the House. It was coming to the final days of vote there in the Senate. And at that point, there were many who stood in opposition and wanted their voice heard, and they basically hijacked the legislative process when vote was about to pass. It was very clear based upon the way the voting was going that the legislation was going to pass. And so rather than adhering to peaceful sharing of their voice, a mob basically stood up and clamored up and made it not possible for the vote to take place. And as a result, we're here in another session repeating the process, and I still firmly feel that the bill will pass.
One of the criticisms leveled in that last session, where the bill was killed by the filibuster in the Senate, was that there were insufficient hearings on this bill before it was brought up for a vote. And of course, right now we're in the midst of that hearings phase, I believe, in the Texas House. What is your response to that criticism?
Actually, there were many hearings. There were hearings that were required and that are typical. Where it wasn't typical was the fact that the hearings were quite extensive and they went into many hours of the night. There were times where there was only about an hour and a half break one night long because hearings continued from one evening and rolled through to the other. So there was an extensive amount of time, as well as, you know, folks had the opportunity to stand and to testify through written testimony as well as verbal testimony. So voices were able to be heard. I just think that the opposition is just throwing that out as one more reason why they are trying to stand strong on their position.
How would you describe the atmosphere both inside and outside the House in Texas? We hear about, at least according to the various media outlet, protests and supporters outside. How would you describe it?
I would agree. I think there has been a big shift and change. Originally coming into the second session, it was a bit more animated, but I think as more Texans who are true and blue, who are coming out to really share their voice on the blue side, you're seeing more pro-lifers show up in larger numbers. And as a larger number of pro-lifers are showing up, surprisingly, those of the opposition are going away. There's a lot of very strong, peaceful, prayerful presence on the pro-life side, and they are filling the gallery, they're filling the hearing rooms to stand up, Texans speaking for Texans, and they're standing up for life.
What role, or how would you describe the role played by Governor Perry in this case?
You know, Governor Perry has always been incredibly strong on the side of life. He recognizes and acknowledges the fact that life begins at conception, and he's not wavered in that fact. I think many of our Texas legislators, and definitely majority of Texans, feel that way as well. So it's nice to see that the leader of our state is fully representing the heartbeat of Texans as well.
What happens next? Where are we at in the process, and what happens next for this bill?
Well, you know, we're in the middle of the floor debate in the House. We still need to go through that process on the Senate side. Currently, on the House floor, there are amendments, potential amendments being introduced. So it's going to be a bit of a long process going through that. Once all of that's vetted out and it goes to the Senate, they'll do the same process. So we still have to the end of the month to complete the full process, which is laid out. And we feel very confident that in the end, the bills will pass.
Wendy Davis managed to filibuster the last one in the Senate and run out the clock on the bill. What's to prevent another filibuster in the Senate?
At this point, actually, I do believe we've heard that there's not a desire or an attempt to do that, that it has been made obvious. Even though the opposition is trying to vet out and those who are not standing with the bill are trying to vet out just to make sure there isn't any areas that are being missed, I don't think there's a need to continue to filibuster or to take an extremist stand just because if you look out into the gallery, if you look out into the rotunda, if you look out based upon the calls coming in, I think it would be incredibly wise for folks to go ahead and cast and support the vote of this bill because that's how Texans truly feel.
Did that filibuster perhaps have the opposite attendant effect while temporarily stopping the bill? Did it in fact mobilize pro-lifers in Texas and kind of heightened the issues in debate here, making the second try here on this bill a stronger one?
Yeah, actually, I think that it did in the sense that, you know, pro-lifers, especially here in Texas, we kind of take it for granted that, you know, our neighbors and our peers and our friends are that way as well, and that this did not need to be a battle. And to be honest, you know, opposition that was so strong and prominent at the Capitol at the time that the filibuster took place, those weren't all Texans, and they weren't representative of Texans. So when that became obvious and evident, Texans said, you know what? We are going to represent our voice. We are the ones who voted our legislators into process. We are the ones who want to make sure that this bill is passed. So you have seen not only on a multi-denominational level of folks supporting on the church side, but also those just who are purely pro-life at heart, they are joining together in coalitions to come to stand strong, to rep Texans, representing Texans, standing for life.
With only about 15 seconds, what's the soonest that this bill could be signed into law, do you know?
At this point, there's no way of knowing. We're hoping sooner than later, but it's still going to be a bit of a process. I know it's going to go well into the end of the week, and that would probably be the soonest.
Melissa Conway of Texas Right to Life, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you so much.
Folks, you'll find a link to Texas Right to Life at our website under the Listen on Demand page, issuesetc.org. This is really a very moderate attempt. If you see what this bill in Texas, similar to bills elsewhere, is trying to do, it's simply saying that, number one, these late-term abortions, against which public opinion has been mounting over the last 40 years, these late-term abortions permitted by Roe ought not to be permitted. And the states are saying, let's not permit them. There are all sorts of reasons not to permit them, among them things like fetal pain and awareness. But, of course, the goal here is ultimately to make abortion itself unthinkable. But we have to drive people's minds into the womb in a lot of ways, don't we? We have to say, stop thinking about what's going on outside the womb, start thinking about what's going on inside the womb and who is there. And that's part of the greater goal of a bill, or one would hope a law eventually, like the one in Texas, to say, who is it that we're dealing with when we end a life in the womb? It's a long road ahead, but these are good places to begin. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muscoda, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muscoda, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.